Hi, and welcome to the study of Ruth and Esther. I'm Jill Grossman, and I'm really glad you're joining us. This is an overview, so let's get started. Last year, when we had our class, I asked the class for some suggestions on what books that they were interested in studying this next year. And then I also said I would pray about it and seek the Lord for His guidance. The study of Ruth came up, and I pondered that for a while, and the Lord showed me that this is a great book to study along with the book of Esther. And lo and behold, I found a study with both books. So these are indeed a good study. I've done them. They're excellent. But why would I want to pick Ruth and Esther during this time? Well, we need to understand that God can use anyone, and I mean anyone, to fulfill His accomplishments. We are living in uncertain times right now. But these stories told of these women and the circumstances that surrounded them should remind us that God is indeed paying close attention to our lives and our hearts as well. He has not forgotten us, and we should, and we need to trust Him with all of it. But let me ask you something. Do we trust Him? Are we? Well, let me bring up an example. The presidential election coming up. Now, I'm not trying to go all political on you. No, but I am sure every one of us that are listening to this would agree that none of us are 100% confident in the candidates that we have to pick. Is this the best we can do? Well, I'm sure we would all agree, though, that our country and the standards that we used to live by have changed. They've eroded. Being a true Christian today, to follow, truly follow what the Lord is telling us to do, is walking a narrow road. In this day and age, can we, will we stand up for what we know is right? You see, we get hit with a lot of facts. A lot of facts come at us. And truth, though, coming from God's Word. So fact and truth are becoming increasingly difficult to decipher. What is truth? And what is fact? Are we sincerely seeking God and waiting to hear from Him? Are we? Will we stand for what is right when we know it's right? You see, these questions were all the same questions that came up in these two books. Israel was in a terrible famine during the time of Ruth, and the country was in disarray. It takes place in the middle of the book of Judges, and people were doing as they pleased. Esther takes place during a time that the Israelites were in captivity in Persia, and eventually they faced complete annihilation. Yet these women were just like you and me, who did extraordinary things for God's glory and God's purpose. Ruth was a Gentile from a pagan land. God used her and the people around her to teach us about God's love, His restoration, and His redemption. Oh, it's a beautiful love story told through speeches. There are 85 verses in the book of Ruth, and 59 of them contain dialogue. And ironically, the word love is only mentioned one time in the book of Ruth. There are no miracles in this book. However, all the main characters in this story face a crisis of some sort. And here's the key. Their decisions reflect their priorities. And that's something we're going to focus on. The book of Ruth is read during Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks, along with portions of the giving of the law. Shavuot is a Hebrew word for weeks. Shavuot is observed 50 days after Passover, 7 weeks. God's glorious and complete number, 7. There's no coincidences when you start digging into Scripture and you start finding things that the Lord is showing you, that He's revealing to you. There's never a coincidence with God. So 7 weeks after Passover. You see, there are 7 feasts appointed by the Lord for Israel. Of the 7 feasts, Israel is commanded to appear before the Lord for 3 of the 7. Feast of Weeks was the 2nd of the 3, with the Feast of Unleavened Bread being the 1st and the Feast of Tabernacles being the 3rd. Feast of Weeks was a Sabbath, regardless of what day it fell upon. Israel was not to do any work on the Feast of Weeks. That is found in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 21, and Numbers chapter 28, verse 26. But I want to read from Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 9 through 12. This is what the Lord is telling His people. You shall count 7 weeks for yourself. Begin to count the 7 weeks from the time you begin to put the sickle to the grain. Then you shall keep the Feast of Weeks to the Lord your God with the tribute of a freewill offering from your hand, which you shall give as the Lord your God blesses you. You shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your son and your daughter, your male servant and your female servant, the Levite who is within your gates, the stranger and the fatherless, and the widow who are among you, at the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. And you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and that you shall be careful to observe these statutes. You see, the Feast of Weeks happens during the story of Ruth. This is a story about God's provision and God's love for us, just as the Feast of Weeks is a reminder of God's provision and love for his children. In the book of Esther, the word God is never mentioned, although this story is about his sovereignty and his faithfulness to his people, the Jews. And since we are grafted into his chosen family, this book applies to us as well. The story of Esther is important to us because it also shows us the difficult, although attainable, balance between loyalty to God and life within a pagan culture. And wouldn't you agree that life is getting more and more pagan out there? So how do we exist? Well, we shall learn from the story of Esther. And then Esther is also read every year at the Purim Festival. The Purim Festival is a celebration of Jews remembering how Haman, a character in Esther, almost had the whole nation exterminated. So, regardless of who is elected, and what begins to happen to our country, and what our future is for our country, this book resolves any questions concerning God's power. You see, remember, when the wicked prevail, God is moving beneath the surface and behind the scenes to preserve and bless his children. That is his heart. He is a good, good father, as the song goes. This is about knowing and trusting God's character through all circumstances. So what my goal is for us as we study these two books is that you remember that, one, God is Lord of all life, all life. Two, God's word touches every aspect of our lives. And three, only when we allow him to be Lord over all the areas of our lives can we find life's richest meaning and the greatest of fulfillments. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this study. We thank you for the beginning of this study and how important these two books are. And they're not just for women. They're for men and women. Oh, Lord, take us deep as we study these next six lessons. Take us deep into your word and peel back the onion skins and show us how relevant these books are today with what these two women went through and endured, but were redeemed and loved by you. You are such a loving God. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you for this opportunity to study your word. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.